Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, here they are, the nominees for this year's Academy Awards.
Welcome, everyone. It is the Oscar Prediction Roundtable, our annual show on Movie Geeks United. I'm Jamie. I'm delighted to be here with Jerry and Dean on the panel.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, guys.
I just have a quick programming note right at the start. For all of our Oscar coverage, including our two most recent interviews with Oscar nominees Robert Richardson and Damien Bashir, you can go to moviegeeksunited.net/Oscar, and you'll see our Oscar coverage from previous years on that page as well, as some video on location reports from the nominee announcement last week, and in a little while you'll see a report from the nominee luncheon and all that kind of good stuff. Okay, packed show tonight, so let's get right to some of these categories. Okay, you guys ready?
I'm ready, baby.
Sounds good.
Okay, let us start with the supporting actor categories. How does that sound?
Sounds good to me.
Okay.
That's usually the first one of the first awards they give out. But.
That was my thinking exactly, Dean. So let's begin with Best Supporting Actress.
The 2011 nominees for Best Performance by an Actress in a Supporting Role are Bérénice Bejot in The Artist, Jessica Chastain in The Help, Melissa McCarthy in Bridesmaids, Janet McTeer in Albert Nobbs, and Octavia Spencer in The Help.
Okay, those are the nominees for Best Supporting Actress: Bérénice Bejot, The Artist, Chastain, The Help, McCarthy, Bridesmaids, McTeer, Albert Nobbs, and Spencer for The Help. Dean, what do you think?
It's been Octavia Spencer for a long time. Ever since the movie came out, really. So I'm sticking with Octavia Spencer. I think it'll be the one award that The Help wins this year. So. Even though you know people are talking about it possibly taking Best Actress too, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Okay, Jerry, what do you think about
Octavia Spencer?
I do think it's going to go to Octavia Spencer, and I have no problem with that. But I also think Melissa McCarthy would be a bold choice and a great choice, because I do think Bridesmaids deserves some kind of credit. It is the funniest movie of last year. But if I was going to have to give it, who I think is very deserving, I have to give it to Janet McTeer. She's the one bright spot of Albert Nobbs, as far as I'm concerned. And I don't think she's been given her due. I would have given it to her for Tumbleweeds, if you want to know the God's honest truth.
So you would give it to McTeer, but you think Spencer will get it?
Yeah.
Okay. Dean, who would you give it to out of these five?
Out of these five, I would give it to Melissa McCarthy.
I'm torn between those two, by the way. I mean, but yeah.
Because I think Melissa McCarthy's role was probably the most talked about supporting actress role of the year. But Octavia Spencer's role is a little bit bigger. Other than Bérénice Bejot, who could be, Bejot, or however you say it, who could have the largest role in the Best Supporting Actress race. Other than her, you know, Octavia Spencer seems to have the biggest role, and sometimes that's the deciding factor. And
sometimes it isn't. I mean, Shakespeare in Love, whatever her name is, Judi Dench, right? Wasn't that the example?
Yeah, occasionally there's a 7-minute, performance.
Also,
or James Cagney for Ragtime.
Or well, he wasn't nominated. But,
was he nominated? Well, no, I thought he was nominated for Ragtime.
No, Howard Rollins was nominated for Ragtime, but that was the supporting actor thing from that. But I think the shortest supporting the shortest performance in general for a supporting actor was probably for a winner at least was Anthony Quinn for Lust for Life, and maybe for supporting actress.
Oh,
is,
okay.
You know,
and we're all thankful for
great.
That. But you know, the comedy rarely gets awards at the Oscars. But the exceptions tend to be in the supporting categories. If you think of all the Woody Allen roles
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
Marissa Tomei and that kind of thing. So McCarthy has a shot. I would think, outside of Octavia Spencer, who would be my choice, too, to win,
mm-hmm.
that Melissa McCarthy would run a close second.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I'd have no problem with it. I'd have no problem. I mean, I think Bridesmaids deserves all the accolades it can get, personally. So I mean,
but if you have a surprise, which I haven't had a surprise really in the past few years of the Oscars, that you know they've been pretty much as predicted. I would think Melissa McCarthy might be a surprise,
mm-hmm.
but barring that, Octavia Spencer
mm-hmm.
certainly.
Yeah.
Okay, Best Supporting Actor. Here are the nominees.
For Best Performance by an Actor in a Supporting Role, the nominees are Kenneth Branagh in My Week with Marilyn, Jonah Hill in Moneyball, Nick Nolte in Warrior, Christopher Plummer in Beginners, and Max von Sydow in Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close.
Okay, a loud reaction to a silent performance. All right, so I think in this category, I'll tell you who I want to win, Nick Nolte, because that was the supporting performance out of these nominees that impressed me the most this past year. But I think it's a given that Christopher Plummer is going to get it.
I think you're absolutely right. I mean, I actually think four of the five performances are great performances. I think the Branagh performance is sadly lacking. For someone who worships Olivier as much as he does, it just seems like a really random imitation as far as I'm concerned. But I'm all with the other four there.
Now, do you blame that on the performance or the role as written?
I blame it as the role as written.
It's not much of a role.
But it just, you know...
Strangely enough, it's not much of a role. He never has this one great scene or anything
in
it. It always seems like he's linking. It always seems like that character is just linking together the scenes that we're really waiting for with Michelle Williams.
Yeah.
So I don't know what he's even doing in this race, really. But
Mark Johnson in the chat room says, "Watch out for Von Sydow." Linda Blair certainly agrees with you. I think you know, a lot of these outside of Christopher Plummer, all of these would be surprises. And delightful surprises in their own way. I mean, Jonah Hill is like a... I mean, he probably won't win because this is a more like Welcome to the Club of Dramatic Acting kind of recognition.
Yeah.
But that would be a very special kind of, oh my God, kind of moment. Nick Nolte, you know, you're a crazy dude. You've been away for so long. God knows where. Welcome back,
Cotter.
And Von Sydow, and does it necessarily, I don't know, Extremely Loud got nominated for Best Picture. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But it's not an incredibly well-regarded movie, but that doesn't necessarily play a major role in who wins a supporting.
No, but his performance is the movie. The strange
thing about this thing is that everybody's ready to give Christopher Plummer for Beginners, not only because, you know, it's a very good performance. It's not my favorite supporting performance of the year, but it's very good. But a lot of people seem to think that he's going to win it for his great career. Well, in honesty, Christopher Plummer has never been that great of an actor. I mean, he got better when the 90s came around because he started taking supporting roles and things like that. But when he was a lead actor, he wasn't that great. I mean, people always point to, oh, well, he was great in Sound of Music, but even he hated Sound of Music. He's the one who called it Sound of Mucus. So,
well, look, out of all of these nominees, though, Christopher Plummer has had an outstanding year. I mean, as a body of work in a year, he's had The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, he's had Beginners, he's had a movie that hasn't seen the light of day yet outside of, I think, Venice Film Festival, where it's a one-man movie called Barrymore, where he plays John Barrymore.
Right.
I think the year itself is exceptional for him, and I think he just has that momentum.
I would prefer the award go to Jonah Hill, because I like his understated performance in Moneyball. I think a lot of people are slamming it, his nomination, saying that he doesn't deserve it. But
I think
he's terrific in Moneyball. A lot of people are saying he was nominated instead of Albert Brooks, which is, of course, Albert Brooks is the big snub in this category, which I think is a shame. I think Brooks should be in there instead of Branagh, but Hill totally has a place in this race, and I'm glad that he's in there. I personally would give it to Hill, but I would like to see, if we're going to go for somebody like Christopher Plummer, I mean, Max von Sydow has actually had a much greater career than Christopher Plummer has, and I would be happy to see Max von Sydow win it. Actually.
Yeah, I'm talking about a year. I'm not talking about a career.
I don't think that Christopher Plummer's year has been that great. I mean, I saw Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, which I kind of despised this past weekend, and that wasn't much of a performance. He was the most boring part of the movie, if you ask me. But Beginners is good, but it's kind of a slight movie. It's just as slight as almost anything that people are complaining about in this year. So,
I don't think it's slight.
I think
it's a small movie, but I don't think how it's handled and what it handles is slight.
Yeah.
But.
Okay.
But we're all agreed that Plummer is the favorite to win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to our screenplay categories. How about that? Let me see if I can find them on my switchboard here. Let's go to adapted screenplay first.
Okay, cool.
For adapted screenplay, we have Alexander Payne, Nat Faxon, and Jim Rush for The Descendants. John Logan for Hugo. George Clooney, Grant Heslov, and Bo Willimon for Eyes of March. Steve Zaillian, Aaron Sorkin, and Stan Shevin for Moneyball. And Bridget O'Connor and Peter Strawn for Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy.
Okay, The Descendants, Hugo, Eyes of March, Moneyball, Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy. These are our choices. Jerry, what would you go with here?
I don't know why the Ides of March is on here, but I would go with, I think Moneyball is, I think that's the favorite. Now, I like Moneyball, and I think what they obviously did, I never read the Michael Lewis book. From what I understand, though, they really made it very understandable, made it from what is a very facts and figures kind of book, in part.
Right.
You know, so that you have to give credit there. But I have to give, to make Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy, and to condense it into the two-hour movie that they made, and it is still a very complicated movie. I would want Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy to win, but I have a feeling Moneyball is going to win. I
couldn't even figure out what was going on in Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy after a little while, so I think that's out. You know. I mean, and I'm not alone in that. I mean, I found Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy to be like incredibly confusing at one
okay,
point.
Okay, can I need to add something in here? Now, I've read a lot of John Le Carre. I've never read the Smiley books, but I've heard this from a lot of people, and then these are the same people that thought the first Mission Impossible was a complicated movie.
I thought that too.
I didn't, not complicated because of anything intellectually dense or anything in it. But I have to say, if you pay attention to Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, if you actually pay attention, if you're not talking, if you're not rummaging through your purse, and yes, I'm making comments about the people in my movie when I saw it, not rummaging through your purse or trying to figure out who's texting you, it actually does make sense if you pay attention. I'm not assaulting you, Dean, or anything. I'm just making an assault on the general audience here. If you know, you're supposed to watch the movie. The movie's not supposed to watch you. And I admit it is a complicated story. But if you pay attention, it does make sense.
Well, it obviously made sense to the people that did it.
Yeah.
Wrote it.
Yeah. I'm getting this film is being called out. Oh, it doesn't make sense. No.
It does make sense. It's a movie that requires you to pay close attention.
I do have to say this, and this is not Dean. I'm not, you know, I love you, Dean. I'm not making fun of you at all. But this does go to our attention deficit disorder. Put away the iPad, put away the iPhone, and pay attention to the fucking movie.
Well, I've always felt this way. I mean, I've always felt this way about adaptations of Le Carre's work. Like, even back to things like Little Drummer Girl and stuff like that. I've never been a real fan of those movies because I find that they get bogged down in the machinations of the very complicated worlds that they're dealing in. So, I mean, like, I feel like Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy probably would be better if it was or more understandable if it was a 4-hour movie or a miniseries.
Well, remember,
it originally was
a miniseries with Alec Guinness. But
well,
I keep hearing this from people. I hear people in the theater, and I'm just like, I can't believe we've gotten dumber as a people over the years. I refuse to believe that.
It's a case of being of us being dumb. I don't think that the movie is very engaging. I think there's a coldness to it, and I think that has to do with just its world. You know, it's kind of a cold, kind of world.
It is interesting you bring up that you use that word. I mean, because it must be incredibly alien to anyone born after 1989.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it must be, what are they talking about, huh? What?
Yeah.
But,
we understand the notion, even if we're not wrapped up in the whole Cold War kind of mentality, we understand the notion of spies. And, I mean, because we've been raised on Bond movies, you know? And there's
and
a mole.
And everything.
I think it's kind of like the academic quality of the movie that kind of might make people shut off and not pay attention.
Oh yeah, I'm not saying, but I don't think it's as. I think if you pay attention, it's not that complicated. I really don't.
So the point of all of this is you choose Moneyball.
Yes. I choose Moneyball because I think that's the favorite. Sorkin is the favorite.
And Dean, you choose Hugo, of course, right?
Yeah, Hugo is my choice. Hugo's on here is complete folly to me. But Moneyball, no question about it. I mean, no question about it. Just a totally great screenplay.
Okay, I will say my favorite is Moneyball, but I am going to go with The Descendants.
I think you're right there. I think that's going to be.
I am going against what I really think will win, which probably will be The Descendants, but I'm picking Moneyball. It probably will be The Descendants because it's got heat and everything.
I've been burned. I mean, I've won it amongst my circle of friends, not in my friend Jason's contest or anything, but among my circle of friends, I've always come out on top. But I've been burned so much by, like, going outside of what's probably going to happen, just kind of wishful thinking votes.
Yeah.
That I'm pretty much going to stay in line with what I think is probably going to happen this year, so I don't get burned on my choices. Not that there's any, you know, long-term ramifications of that.
No, I really don't think.
You know, plus
not that,
Sorkin
not that
won
a therapy group
year
for
and
people
that
lose
all
Oscar
that kind
contests.
Of stuff,
okay, best screenplay nominees, here they are. Best original.
For best original screenplay, the nominees are Michelle Hazanavicius for The Artist, Annie Mamolo and Kristen Wiig for Bridesmaids, J.C. Shandor for Margin Call, Woody Allen for Midnight in Paris, and Asghar Farhadi for A Separation.
Okay. Dean, you got your Separation screenplay nomination in there.
I knew it was going to happen. When I was watching the movie, I was like, I was positive. I was like, wow, this screenplay is insane.
You know, I didn't understand a separation screenplay. I mean, it was written in a different language.
What the fuck?
I tried to pay attention, but
it just looked like scribbling because you read it.
And with this, and like we said Wednesday night, with this nomination for Woody Allen, coupled with his directing nomination, he is now the most nominated writer director in history behind in front of Billy Wilder.
Shit.
By the way, I watched a clip. I was watching Oscar clips on their website the other night. They have this clip, Legendary Presenters, and they were presenting Best Picture. And they said, here's three legendary directors to present Best Picture. So on stage walks John Huston, Billy Wilder, and Akira Kurosawa.
Wow.
Oh, my God. I mean, that's...
If I was a filmmaker, I'd just, like, go blow my brains out, you know, if I was
know.
In that same room.
And Kurosawa was trying to pronounce, you know, Pollock and Out of Africa and all that kind of stuff, and he couldn't do it very well, but Pollock didn't care. Pollock was like, oh, my God, Akira Kurosawa. You know. I mean, we just don't have that level of, oh.
Yeah,
I mean,
those days are gone.
Yeah, we're not getting those back anytime soon, so.
Okay, The Artist, Bridesmaids, Margin Call, Midnight in Paris, A Separation. Wow. Wow. What do you guys think? I don't know what to think of this category, really.
It's a good category.
Tough category, but I am, what they're going to give it to is Midnight in Paris. But don't count out A Separation as a surprise. Because occasionally they do that, you know. Occasionally they'll give a screenplay Oscar to a foreign film. I think the last one was maybe Talk to Her, Pedro Almodovar. So, you know, it's possible. I mean, it's possible that the writers will really love A Separation. So, but I think they're probably going to go Midnight in Paris.
Okay. I would choose Midnight in Paris. Jerry, what do you think?
I think they're going to give it to The Artist.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the artist might be one of these things that gets a clean sweep, the way just from what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
I just feel like the screenplay is the artist probably its weakest link, and I don't see them, you know, because Hazard of Theseus is also nominated for editing this year, so I don't see him winning three Oscars in 1 year.
I think if it's, I think The Artist is definitely in the running, but I could see The Artist, Midnight in Paris, or Separation winning. And out of those three, I would think most likely to be Midnight in Paris, just because this is obviously Woody Allen is deeply beloved.
Mm-hmm.
By the writing branch,
right,
you know.
Right.
And this is what many consider one of his very best, like, and a major comeback.
Mm-hmm.
Huge
yeah.
comeback. I mean, you couldn't ask for a bigger comeback for someone like him.
Yeah, like Owen Wilson
way,
said in that documentary.
Candor,
that,
have you guys seen Margin Call? By the way,
yeah,
yes.
I wasn't impressed with that movie either. So I don't know what he's doing in this thing.
No, I actually think it's a very good movie. I'm actually glad it's there. But I think the bold choice, if you really want to go, give it to Bridesmaids. Give
yeah.
it to fucking Bridesmaids. I mean, I think this film really sort of changed. This film did, you know, I do think it's the funniest movie of the year. It takes all the male-oriented comedies, like The Hangover 2 and other movies that come out later in the year, and it's far funnier. And I just think the writing is very fresh, and I think it's a good. It's actually a all around good movie. I think that would be the thing to do.
I think so too, and I think it's great that it was nominated.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be neat to see Kristen Wiig up there, who I thought was kind of cheated out of a Best Actress nomination, sort of, because I just thought she was just as funny as Melissa McCarthy was in the
mm-hmm.
movie. So,
oh, I agree.
Okay, so Dean, you and I go for Midnight in Paris, Jerry going for The Artist.
Yeah.
I bet the winner will be something that's not even nominated.
That would be a surprise.
Horrible Bosses?
Okay, Visual Effects, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2, Hugo, Real Steel, the Academy Award nominated Real Steel. Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
I tried to watch it the other day, and I was like, no way, I can't watch this. It's too bad. I can't watch it.
Rise of the Planet of the Apes and the Academy Award-nominated Transformers Dark of the Moon. Visual effects. Now, I think that it's more than likely a two-way race between Rise of the Planet of the Apes and Harry Potter, and I would say that Harry Potter is the one that gets it.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right.
Interesting. I'm going with Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Okay.
One of those two. I maybe that Michael Bay and his guys are like lobbying the the Academy voters right now as we speak. You know. But,
well, have the other previous Transformers movies, which I'm sure were nominated in these kinds of sound visual effects categories, have any of them won? I wonder. I'm not sure.
I don't think so. I think they might have won one sound award.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
that's about it.
Look, all the movies that you mentioned are worthy of this award, and it is a big deal having friends in the special effects business. But I think this just on the Harry Potter may lean towards Harry Potter because this is the last in the series, so they may lean towards this one.
Mm-hmm.
So.
It's too bad that Tree of Life isn't in the running here. That was my one of my disappointments when the Oscar nominations were announced was that Doug Trumbull, which they did give Doug Trumbull this year the Gordon E. Sawyer Award, which is like the
Well, Douglas Trumbull can go. I'll tell Douglas Trumbull where to go.
Well,
no fan of that man.
I know you have a beef with Douglas Trumbull, but he's still great.
He's great. He just needs to be great from the home.
He's dreamy.
But you guys are going with Harry Potter and me with Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Jason O'Brien in the chat room claims Rise of the Planet of the Apes will take that one home. So we're, it's a split. Maybe they'll share the award.
Ape and Muggle in unison.
It's possible also that Hugo will come in as a spoiler somehow and
If they share the award, you'll see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people take the stage.
Yeah.
To pick up an Oscar. That'll be a visual effect. Sound mixing. This is the category that celebrates the mixing of sound.
I love how you had to explain that for us, Retard. It's great.
I hate how they confuse this because, these categories used to be it was best sound and it was best sound effects. The best sound editing is really for the effects in the movie. It's very confusing to people. When it was just best sound effects, that was fine, and best sound. Why not just leave it at that?
we are going to sound off on this issue with a couple of the nominees throughout February, because we have a few of the nominees for these two categories. But sound mixing, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, Hugo, Moneyball, Transformers, Dark of the Moon, and War Horse. War Horse. Now, sound, I would think, Transformers?
I would actually have to say I agree. I think that is... That movie batters you, I mean, that movie really batters you. I like all the other movies, more than that, but that movie does what it's supposed to do in the sound and visual effects. I mean, you're not going to see Shia LaBeouf. The kid from Poland ain't the greatest actor in the world, so you're not going to see it for that. You're not going to see it for any of that, actually. You're going because, you're going to get a good show, an entertaining.
This is tough. This is tough, though. Because I think about Hugo, impressive sound, but then I think about The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, which is so dependent upon sound and ambiance and that kind of thing.
I feel like Dragon Tattoo over mixes the music in it. I feel like the music is mixed too high, so that's what knocks that out for me. I'm going with Transformers too.
Transformers 3, actually.
Well, you know what I mean.
Wait, I thought it was Transformers 47.
Damn it,
man. Why am I the last to know about this?
So we all agree that the Academy Award winning Transformers Dark of the Moon will happen.
It will help that Blu-ray next year.
Yeah.
Category. The editing of sound category, we have Drive, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, Hugo, Transformers Dark of the Moon, and Warhorse.
Did you call it War?
Warhorse.
Okay.
Sean Connery. I put a Sean Connery on it. Drive, we have the sound editor for Drive in February. Again,
one nomination
like
that movie got.
Like The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, a movie that depends strongly upon sound to create a sense of atmosphere.
These sound categories are tough. I really, you know, don't feel feel great about any of them. But,
give me your most sound judgment.
I'm gonna go with Warhorse.
You're gonna go with Warhorse on this.
Yeah, because Gary Ragstrom, he's been up there a lot, and I you know, he's one of the nominees for Warhorse, so I'm just going just solely on that.
This is the category I'll take a chance on. I'll say Drive.
I'm going with Drive, too. I'm definitely going with Drive.
Okay.
I just don't remember being impressed with the sound effects in that movie.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to be, as long as the Academy voters are.
Of course.
Best short film, live action. By the way, we posted a video up of one of these nominees, two of these nominees, and they videotaped their reaction to reading their name on the nomination list. Did you guys see that?
Yeah, I did.
No, I did not see them.
Oh,
it's
such a beautiful
thing. It's
very
sweet.
Yeah.
The two nominees of Time Freak I saw. Saw them.
So Time Freak is up. Time Freak, Tuba Atlantic, The Shore, Raju, and Pentecost.
Yeah.
Now,
I've seen trailers for all of these, so I've gotten a sense of how they're going to go. It looks like Time Freak might be the only American one in the running. So I'm going to go with Time Freak.
I'll go with Time Freak too, just because I love those guys after seeing the video.
Yeah.
I've actually seen any of these, so I can't.
Actually, you know, that goes viral. That can play a role.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Sure. And I
just say
Time Freak,
just say
looks
Time
like
Freak,
the most
Jerry.
Interesting
Time Freak.
One, you know.
Time Freak.
Time Freak looks like the most interesting one to me, too. I mean, the others look, you know, rather self-important, but Time Freak looks like it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and we all can relate to the freak part.
Yes.
Short film animated. Demanchi Sunday, I guess. The Fantastic Flying Books of Mr. Morris Lessmore, La Luna, A Midnight Stroll, and Wildlife. Now, these, in the short film categories, I have to admit, like you guys, we haven't seen any of these, I'm sure. So we're basically just guessing on these until we get closer to Oscar time, and we would have seen them, and then we'll fill people in, but... I'll go with the Fantastic Flying Books.
La Luna is a Pixar movie.
Is it? Okay, then I'll go with La Luna.
and then Wildlife is from the National Film Board of Canada, which is incredibly, incredibly respected in that short animation.
Okay, I'll go with Wildlife. You've convinced me. Yeah. No, I'll go with La Luna.
I'm going with La Luna too, because like I really know either way. I mean,
which translated means the Luna.
The moon. La Luna. But Wildlife might get in there.
By the way, I tried to make a dinner reservation at La Luna, and I mean, it was just awful. Music, original song. What a great category year after year.
And this is no exception.
This year's roster of worthy nominees: Man or Muppet from The Muppets, and Real in Rio from Rio. No Madonna, no Mary J. Blige.
You had a plethora of songs to choose from. I don't understand why they did two.
Yeah. Well, wait, just for people that didn't tune in Wednesday, the votes are, it's something like an 85% rule, where a selection has to get at least 85%, and then if nothing else gets 85%, they go to another nominee right below it. If nothing gets 85%, then they don't have that category. Some years it's been as many as 10 nominees. So that's why they can be so limited on the number of nominees in this category, supposedly.
Well, heck, back in the old days, back when they were, you know, when Cole Porter was writing songs for movies and
yes,
stuff like that, they
that's,
used to have, like,
when it
14
went to 10.
Nominees, you know.
That's when it went up, because we had Irving Berlin's and Cole Porter's and that kind of stuff,
yeah,
composing movie songs, you know. It's,
exactly.
Now we have Man or Muppet. So, Man or Muppet, I would go with that, right?
Oh, me too. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going with that too. It'll be interesting. Brett McKenzie, you know, who's part of the Flight of the Conchords. Yeah, I'm predicting him as well.
Okay.
I mean, it's like true false. I mean, so you're going to be one or the other. So I mean,
no, I'm telling you, they need to get rid of this category. It's so outdated, outmoded. I mean, there hasn't been a number one song from a movie since Lose Yourself from 8 Mile.
That doesn't need to be the criteria, does it?
I don't even think it matters about that. You had so many songs you could pick this year, and it's like, oh, we picked these two? I mean, regardless, you know, and I think they should do a medley. I don't think they should do an individual. I think you should just do like a 5-minute medley of all the songs, you know, or whatever, or not even play the songs. The hell with it.
Well, they only have two this year.
But I think it's stupid. You had so many songs to choose from.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't think they should get rid of the category. I just think they just need to figure out a better way to do it. I mean,
don't you just want to see Kermit accept an Oscar? I mean, that's going to happen.
Yeah, I really want to see a guy with someone's hand up his ass go up the Oscar.
I mean, that's no different from anyone from the Weinstein Company.
That's true. I mean, the Weinsteins, or, you know, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
By the way, it's kind of cool that Sergio Mendes is nominated for Real in Rio. I like Sergio Mendes' 60s work a lot. So.
I like him, too. He was great 50 years ago. Okay. Our next category, we have a 5.5-minute clip for. I composed a medley of the nominees for Best Musical Score to give you guys a sense of what they all sound like out there. The nominees in the order in which they are played in this medley are The Adventures of Tintin, The Artist, War Horse, Tinker Tailor, Soldier Spy, and what's the last one? Hugo. So here's a brief medley of these five nominees.
Thank you.
Okay, so those are the nominees. The nominees being The Adventures of Tintin from John Williams, The Artist from Ludovic Borsch, Hugo from Howard Shore, Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy from Alberto Iglesias, and War Horse from John Williams. What do you guys think? Dean?
Oh, The Artist, no question about it. Like, you know, it's one of the stars of the movie, that score. You know, despite the recent flap over it, you know, sampling some of Bernard Herrmann's work from Vertigo, I think there's no chance that anything else can get in. Although I do love the Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy score from Alberto Iglesias,
yeah,
who did my favorite score of the year, which was from Almodovar's
yes,
Can I Live In.
Yeah, that's a great score.
That's one of my favorites, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's the best score he's done this year.
Mm-hmm.
But there are,
yeah,
other snubs in here. I mean, I knew that Cliff Martinez wasn't going to get nominated for Contagion, which I love,
mm-hmm,
or Drive, which was probably not eligible for its mixture of music, maybe, for
yeah,
song.
It was deemed ineligible because of the amount of other music that was in it.
But also the Chemical Brothers for Hannah.
Hannah, I have that on right now. That's a great score.
You have all orchestral, no electronic, and I think that what marked movie music in the past year was the exceptional level of electronic score,
mm-hmm,
that you had, more than orchestral. But irregardless, I think it's going to go to The Artist as well, simply because, I mean, it is a great score, and if any movie depends upon score for these five, or any movie last year, it's The Artist.
Mm-hmm. I agree, yeah.
It also has the only score that you can actually go out and find yourself humming, which is a big deal for me. I mean, if I can hum the score after I've seen the movie that it's from, then I know it's a really good score.
I hum the score to Contagion every time I touch someone.
that's good for them, I guess.
That's not so good for them. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, next category is makeup. Albert polished the knobs. Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2 and The Iron Lady. Did you see Bill Maher do, I'm sure you did, Jerry, but he was making a joke about, I'm not going to go see Albert Nobbs or The Iron Lady. He said, Glenn Close just should do a movie where she plays Meryl Streep so I can just watch one movie.
Yeah.
Or maybe if I'm an adult channel, I'll be convinced to order Albert Nobbs, The Iron Lady.
That was great, yeah.
Yeah, I saw that this week.
Okay. Well, I think it's going to go to either Albert Nobbs or The Iron Lady.
Yeah, I think it's one of those two.
I think it'll be The Iron Lady.
I think so, too. You know, the old age makeup in The Iron Lady, I've already seen a quote from the head of the makeup branch of the Academy saying that they went back to the makers of The Iron Lady to make sure that none of it was CGI, none of the old age makeup was CGI'd because they were so amazed by its perfection. And I have to say, I feel exactly the same way. I mean, you know, we all remember that moment where we saw the first photo of Meryl Streep as...
Oh, yeah, we all remember that moment. It's like 9/11.
Well, you remember, I remember seeing it and going, wow, really?
We all remember where we were when Kennedy was shot. We all remember where we were when we saw the first image of Meryl Streep
as
the Iron Lady.
You got to admit, when you saw that first photo of that one photo of Streep as Thatcher,
yeah, I understand.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So I think it's Iron Lady for sure.
Okay, Jerry, which one?
I want either that or Albert Nobbs. I mean, I don't really have a strong opinion either way, but I think it's one of those two.
Okay.
Come on, commit to one.
So let's all...
Albert Nobbs.
Okay, two for Iron Lady, one for Albert Nobbs.
Okay.
Foreign language film from Belgium, Bullhead, The Story of Dean. From Canada, Monsieur Lazar. From Iran, A Separation. From Israel, Footnote. And from Poland, In Darkness. Very grateful that all of them are easy to pronounce this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think this is no contest. It's a separation.
No contest.
I want to say that, but remember every year we've said this, whether it's Amelie or Pan's Labyrinth, it always goes to something else. So keep that. I don't know what it would go to this year, but just keep that in mind. I mean, I think it is a separation. That would be an upset if it's not this.
If it's not a separation, I think it might be Footnote, because they're pushing Footnote big time now, the publicity company. I keep getting emails about Academy screenings.
It's a great movie, too. It is a great movie, no question about it. But Separation is just so magnificent on every level. I mean, if I had my way, Separation would be nominated for Best Picture, which it was eligible for Best Picture.
Film editing. The Artist, The Descendants, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, Hugo, and Moneyball.
I was watching Moneyball the other night. I love the editing in that. It's so crisp and terrific, and the fact that they got all of the footage from the actual baseball games and mixed it in with footage that they shot was really commendable. But it's going to go to The Artist, I think. The Artist has some very clever editing in it as well.
You know, it's interesting, though, because some years the Academy really seems to go out of their way to spread the wealth. I don't know if this year will be like that, but I'll say The Artist, too.
I'm going to go with The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. I just want to see you get something.
Good. I would have gone with The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo had I taken a chance. So, Jerry, thank you for taking that chance.
I'm taking the chance. I'm going with the chance.
Thank you. Documentary short, The Barber of Birmingham, Foot Soldier of the Civil Rights Movement. Let me say that again, because I stumbled over it.
Say it 5 times fast.
The Barber of Birmingham, Foot Soldier of the Civil Rights Movement. God is the Bigger Elvis, which I've heard our good friend of the show, Patrick, he was telling me that his aunt-in-law is related to the production of that documentary, and it's a fascinating documentary.
What is that about exactly?
You would ask me, and I'll have to remember now, but it's like someone that used to tour with a rock star or hang out with a rock star, or date a rock star or something. I can't remember exactly. He's going to kill me for not remembering. And then she went into the nunnery, and she was in movies or something. I guess there's I don't know. It's about a nun. Incident in New Baghdad, Saving Face, The Tsunami and the Cherry Blossom. What a great title that is, The Tsunami
That's
and the Cherry Blossom.
That's a great title.
I'll go with The Barber of Birmingham.
I think The Incident in New Baghdad sounds interesting. Jerry?
I'm going with that, New Baghdad. I haven't seen any of these, and I don't think I will. I mean, just because of time constraints and everything, but I'll go with New Baghdad. That sounded the most interesting out of all of them.
Yeah. Now, the one of the nominees we've spoken to in the past for the last campaign of Governor Booth Gardner, which was nominated, I think, 2 years ago, and he's got Saving Face. God is the Bigger Elvis is she's an actress, Dolores Hart, best known for her roles opposite Elvis Presley and her performance in the teen drama Where the Boys Are. She chooses to leave Hollywood behind and becomes a Benedictine nun. Mm. See, I wasn't far off. And the makers of this also made the nominated documentary Which Way Home 2 years ago.
Okay.
So you guys are going with The Baghdad, the incident in New Baghdad. I'm going with The Barber of Birmingham.
Okay.
You know what? I always find that I always go for like a civil rights movie when it's nominated every year, and I rarely turn out to be right. I mean, the civil rights burns me every time.
So you're breaking your rule.
You're breaking it big time.
Yeah, I guess so. Documentary feature, Hell and Back Again. If a Tree Falls, a story of the Earth Liberation Front, Purgatory, which is Paradise Lost 3, Pena, the Wim Wenders 3D dance film, and Undefeated, which has the Weinsteins behind it.
Oh, shit.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen 4 out of the 5. I still want to go with Paradise Lost 3 Purgatory. I mean, I just, you know, I think that that was the documentary that helped make a lot of this year's most interesting headlines. I think that the whole series, you know, helped shape the history of at least 3 people, if not a whole lot of other people. And it just, you know, I find it difficult to go with anything else. Although I love Pena, and Helen Back Again was excellent. I mean, a very, very interesting documentary about, you know, soldiers on the ground in Afghanistan and back at home. Very interesting documentary in the sense that it doesn't have a narrator. It's one of the few.
Well, that sounds fascinating.
Yeah.
Has that got a theatrical run at all? Or?
Yeah, it actually, I know it played here in Atlanta for a week, I would imagine that it did. So I'm going with Paradise Lost 3. I just can't.
If a Tree Falls is an environmental message film.
Yeah.
That liberal
sort of
Hollywood.
A story about terrorism.
Yes.
You know, domestic terrorism in a way.
How they've chosen to do like property destruction as a protest against environmental practices.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Undefeated is about a football team that hasn't won in like 100 years or something. And
yeah.
Is that right? So. I don't know. Undefeated sounds like it could sneak in, you know.
It's like the college version of the Boston Red Sox. It's a good audience film. I think out of all these, probably that's the best audience film. The one with the highest spotlight on it is Paradise Lost 3. That doesn't necessarily equate into a win.
That doesn't mean that at all. I mean,
yeah.
I think, you see, we're all making the mistake. The Academy does like current events, but they're but 5 years after the fact.
Mm.
I think it's Pena.
Mm.
I really do, because it's not. It's just, I really do think that's the one. The Academy is not, when it comes to timeliness, that's the one thing they're not good at. Regardless of George Clooney's speech in 2006, they're not. They've never been ahead of the curve. They've always been behind the curve, and they will continue to be behind the curve. It's just their name.
Mm.
So
yeah, that's good logic.
Mm. Well, with the exception of Michael Moore.
Well, yeah, there you go. Or
but they're not going to do.
Matter,
they're not going to do that again.
They're never
going to
do that again.
They learned their
job.
Lesson from that. Yeah.
Inside Job. I mean, it won. So.
Well, because that was about them. I mean, most of their finances were wiped out.
Yeah. So they probably felt as simpatico with the film. So.
Okay. I'll one for Pena, which is Jerry, and Dina and I go for Paradise Lost 3 in that category. Let's move on to directing. How's that? Best director. Here are the nominees. Oh, listen to this mispronunciation of Hasnavisius.
For best achievement in directing, Michelle Azan Avishitos for The Artist.
Jesus.
Alexander Payne for The Descendants. Martin Scorsese for Hugo. Woody Allen for Midnight in Paris. And Terrence Malick for The Tree of Life.
I love that Malick made it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, so you're going to see 3 flesh and blood people and 2 stills of these directors when they announce the nominee.
You never know. Malick might show up.
Yeah,
we won't know it.
He'll be in disguise. He'll be like that that guy last year from that documentary. The graffiti artist that
yeah,
nobody
Banksy,
knows.
Oh, right.
Okay. Well, this really kind of solidified itself last night because the Directors Guild Awards were announced and Michelle Hasnavisius won the DGA. Now, that said, the DGAs and the Oscars have have kind of gone away from each other, only differed six times in their history. Six times. The last time, the first time being 1968. So over the past 44 years, six differences between the winner of the DGA and the winner of the Best Directing Oscar. The last time this happened, I think, was 2005, I think. So I think we're due.
Mm-hmm.
We're due for another change. That being said,
I don't think it's going to happen this year. I think it's going.
That being said, I'll go with Michelle Hazanavicius just to play it safe. But I would not at all be surprised if Scorsese wins over Hazanavicius. Those are the only two that have a shot in this category, I think.
Terrence Malick, you don't think, has
no.
a shot?
No. I think the two front runners are The Artist and Hugo.
Well, you're right. But it's going to be Hazanavicius.
Yeah, that's the I think after last night, that's the obvious choice.
Okay, Hazanavicius. Got him as the winner of directing. Damn it. Costume design. Anonymous. A Roland Emmerich movie gets a nomination. It doesn't have to do with sound or crap blowing up.
Mm-hmm.
The Artist, Hugo, Jane Eyre, and W.E., the one nomination for Madonna and Harvey Weinstein's W.E.
Costume design always has, you know, one or two single nominations. This year's three movies with only one nomination, that's in costume design. So, you know, those costumes in Anonymous are spectacular. I'm going to go out on a limb and go with Anonymous because they love very detailed, you know, fancy old costumes, you know, and they often go out of the box, you know, costume design. I'm remembering now, like, Marie Antoinette winning a few years ago. So I'm going with Anonymous.
I'm going with W.E.
As much as you like Jane Eyre?
As much as I like Jane Eyre, I just don't think Jane Eyre is going to. That's where I think I'm going to go with W.E. just because I think they give him Madonna, give him fashion and everything. And I have not seen the movie, but I've only seen the trailer. But just judging from what I've seen, that has a chance.
Okay. I'm going with Hugo.
That will probably win.
Dun, dun, dun! Thank you. Okay, Mark clarified in the chat that Ang Lee won both the DGA and the Oscar in 2005. So the last time was in 2002. When Polanski won over Marshall for Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay. So that's costume. One for W.E., one for Anonymous, one for Hugo. We're all over the place in that category.
Yeah.
Art direction, we got The Artist, we got Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2, Hugo, Midnight in Paris, and War Horse. I'm going to go with Hugo on this one.
I'm with you.
I'm with you, too.
Okay, that's great category.
That's one of those locks, you know. That's a lock.
Yeah. Cinematography. The Artist, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, Hugo, The Tree of Life, War Horse. Speaking of a lock, I think this is another one, The Tree of Life.
I think so, too.
I'm with you 100%.
I mean, they're all great choices, but this is the one.
Man, we're plowing through these.
Yeah.
Animated feature film, another exceptional category this year. A Cat in Paris, Chico and Rita, Kung Fu Panda 2, the Academy Award nominated Puss in Boots, and Rango. Yeah, I think Rango too.
Academy Award winner
well.
Gore Verbinski.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And, you know, I was genuinely shocked that Tintin didn't get a nomination here.
But I don't think they're ever going to nominate anything, you know, that's motion captured. I just think that it just, you know, flies in the face of what everybody thinks animation is.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I just don't think they're ever going to do that. It's just pure folly to think that they're going to do that. They want stuff that feels hand done. You know?
Are you calling me a folly?
Okay. Yeah.
All right, now we're getting to the three major awards of the night. So let's start with Best Actress.
Okay.
Here are the nominees.
For the best performance by an actress in a leading role, the nominees are Meryl Streep, The Iron Lady.
We will stand on principle, or we will not stand at all.
But Margaret, with all due respect, when one has been to war...
With all due respect, sir, I have done battle every single day of my life, and many men have underestimated me before. This lot seem bound to do the same, but they will rue the day.
Glenn Close, Albert Nobbs.
I heard there was to be a big dinner at the Freemasons' Hall, and that they were short of waiters. And back then, my figure was just right for a waiter, so I managed to get a second-hand suit of clothes, an evening suit. Didn't think they'd hire me, but they were short-handed, and I got the job.
Michelle Williams, My Week with Marilyn.
Marilyn, darling, Larry tells me that you are quite superb.
And oh, I am wild with jealousy. But everyone says you are a wonderful Elsie on stage.
Oh, but I'm too old to play her in the film. Larry was quite brutal about that. You see, the truth is all that matters to him. And that's why we all admire him so very much.
Rooney Mara, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Something wrong with the report?
Oh, this was quite thorough. But I'm also interested in what's not in it.
There's nothing not in it.
Your opinion of him isn't.
He's clean, in my opinion.
You mean he's hygienic?
He's who he presents himself to be.
Your report is light in another area. His personal life. Anything you chose not to disclose?
Nothing that warranted inclusion.
And Viola Davis, The Help.
I would need your help. I want to interview you about what it's like to work as a maid. I'd like to do a book of interviews about working for white families. And we could show what it's like to work for, say, Elizabeth.
You know what Miss Leafall would do to me if she knew I was telling stories on her?
Well, I was thinking that we wouldn't have to tell her. The other maids would have to keep it a secret, too.
All the maids.
Okay, those are the nominees for Best Actress. We've got Viola Davis from The Help, Glenn Close, Albert Nobbs, Rooney Mara, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, Meryl Streep, The Iron Lady, Michelle Williams, My Week with Marilyn. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and just say Meryl Streep, The Iron Lady.
I agree. I don't agree. I don't want it to happen, but yeah, that's what's. I think that's where it's headed, though.
There is a little. I mean, I think that's probably going to happen. Although I'm very bored by saying that it's going to be Meryl Streep. I wish, you know, I wish that she would start doing movies that were great movies all around and not just vehicles for her performance.
Not just characters.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, you know. It's too bad. I mean, Rooney Mara was the one thing I liked about Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. And Michelle Williams is just incredibly charming in my Week with Marilyn. But I don't think that either one of those ladies will get in there. I think the only close, the only person that can unseat Meryl Streep would be Viola Davis for The Help.
I agree.
Yeah.
But I think her performance is a little bit, it almost verges on supporting actress, you know, category, territory there. So
isn't it funny how Emma Stone is the lead in The Help and she's gotten absolutely no love in terms of
yeah, and she's very
awards.
Good in it. And she's,
I mean, if anyone carries the movie,
it's Emma Stone.
Well,
yeah.
they all might win tonight for
the ensemble.
The,
yeah.
For the ensemble award.
I think they will, actually, yeah.
I think so, too. So,
but it's funny
yeah.
How that dynamic occurs. I mean, it happens quite often.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah.
On an ensemble movie. Meryl Streep is Meryl Streep is the front runner in a movie that most people don't think is very good.
No,
obviously,
it's an odd way to do a biopic. It's actually, it's not something that I think they would have been better off waiting until she had passed away to do this movie.
Well, and obviously the Academy doesn't think it's, you know, one of the nine best movies of the year either.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But, so that's what's working against her, if anything.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a tremendous love for The Help. But Octavia Spencer won the supporting actress on that, as we call it. So it got some acting recognition. So, I mean, Meryl Streep's still the front runner in my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So we're
yeah.
all agreed on that.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we move on to Best Actor. Here are the nominees.
The nominees for Best Performance by an Actor in a Leading Role are Damien Bashir, A Better Life.
Hey, so can I have the money or what? What money? Come work. You used to come with me on Saturdays.
What? I had to stop because of soccer.
Yeah, I haven't played football in years.
That's because that league sucked, man.
If you need money in this world, Luis, necesitas trabajar. And you need to work.
George Clooney, The Descendants.
Get out of my underwear, you freak!
Oh, okay, no.
Don't
back inside, put on a swimsuit.
Why?
Now!
A real good job you're doing.
That's part of why I brought you here. You have to help me with her. I don't know what to do with her.
Maybe if you spent more time with her, she wouldn't act like such a complete spaz.
Jean Desjardins, The Artist. Gary Oldman, Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
Style appalling.
Patently a fabrication from beginning to end. Just could be the real thing.
It's as genuine as gold dust. But its topicality makes it suspect.
Smiley is suspicious, Percy.
Where did it come from? What's the access?
A new secret source of mine.
But how could he possibly have access?
He has access to the most sensitive levels of policy making.
And Brad Pitt, Moneyball.
I wanted you to see these player evaluations that you asked me to do.
I asked you to do three.
Yeah.
To evaluate three players.
Yeah.
How many did you do?
47.
Okay.
Okay, those are the nominees for Best Actor. Do you like what I did with Jean Desjardins?
That was fun.
Yeah, that was funny.
Okay.
Very funny.
Great great surprise with Damien Bashir in this category. Gary Oldman, his first nomination. I think they're going to give it to George Clooney. And it's tight between he and Jean Desjardins if you go by the previous awards that have been
right.
handed out this year. But I think it'll go to George Clooney.
You know, a month ago, I would have said Brad Pitt had it locked up because I just think that his performance is the best.
Yeah, me
best
too.
Lead
me
acting too. Performance of the year. But now it seems like the heat is fading on Moneyball and so you're right, it is between Clooney and Desjardins. I'm going with Desjardins where they are.
I'll go with Clooney. But this is the one category, like the supporting actor category, that I think each one is really good. I'd love to see Oldman get it, but I just don't. The Academy's just not that bold in that sense. I don't see them going with this. But I mean, it is shocking, though. This is the first nomination that he's gotten.
Yeah.
I am shocked by that. He's done like 30 years worth of great performances, so I am kind of really shocked by this. But I mean, if it was up to me, I'd give it to him. But I think this is Clooney's year to get the best actor, not the best supporting actor, which he's already won. So let's give it to him for this.
Yeah, I mean, I love Clooney in the movie, and I love Brad Pitt in Moneyball. And
yeah, oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's very touching because Oldman has had the same manager for forever, and so he was in Berlin doing press for Tinker Tailor when the nominations were announced, and his manager came in like crying to tell him about it. And you think it is decidedly different for Gary Oldman, because most of his performances are very colorful and flamboyant and external, and this works in the exact opposite way.
Yeah.
So I wonder how many more of those internal performances we're going to see from him now.
I think Desjardins has a tiny bit of a lead because his performance is so physical.
Yeah.
I think that it's more of a, I don't know, I just feel like it's a little bit showier than Clooney.
Well, there's a good point. He might not ever get nominated again, so they might give it to him. So.
Yeah, exactly. But tonight will be an interesting. It'll be interesting to see, you know, that this particular category, you know, how it plays out.
Mhm. I can't tell what they think in the chat room George Clooney, what's his name? Will win. But we're all going. Or no, Jerry and I are going with Clooney. Dean's giving the edge to Jean Desjardins. Okay. So now we're on to Best Picture, the final category. 9 selections. And let's hear Jennifer Lawrence, the beautiful Jennifer Lawrence, tell us what they are.
The films selected as Best Picture nominees for 2011 are War Horse, Steven Spielberg and Kathleen Kennedy, producers. The Artist, Thomas Langman, producer. Moneyball, Michael DeLuca, Rachel Horowitz, and Brad Pitt, producers. The Descendants, Jim Burke, Alexander Payne, and Jim Taylor, producers. The Tree of Life, nominees to be determined. Midnight in Paris, Letty Aronson and Steven Tenenbaum, producers. The Help, Bronson Green and Chris Columbus, and Michael Barnathan, producers. Hugo, Graham King and Martin Scorsese, producers. And Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close, Scott Rudin, producer.
All right. So the controversial one here.
Extremely Loud reaction to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the movie should not have been incredibly close at all to being nominated for Best Film. I don't know. In most people's eyes. But the movie that was snubbed, in a lot of people's opinions, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, has the same producer as Extremely Loud, right? Scott Rudin.
So, yeah, so Scott Rudin, they're just lucky. They're just happy Scott got up there, so.
Yeah.
The Tree of Life nominees to be announced, the nominees as they are producers of that film, are Sarah Green, Bill Pollard, and Dee Dee Gardner and Grant Hill. The movie has 5 producers. Really, they only want 3 accepting the award, but they made an exception in the Tree of Life's case by including 4. The 5th one that's left out is Brad Pitt.
Right.
So.
Right, which he okayed, you know, he said that's fine. But, wasn't it amazing to see Tree of Life get up there for Best Picture?
I was very pleased, because that's our favorite.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
I could not believe it. But it has to be the most unusual Best Picture nominee maybe ever.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very happy to see that. You know,
I was very happy with it.
More than made up for, you know, anything else that I was, you know, disappointed in or whatever. You know.
Okay, so I think this category is obvious, the winner of this category. It's going to be The Zookeeper. So,
yeah, I've been saying that for like the last 6 months, dude.
I think enough people are going to write that in their ballot.
We bought a zookeeper.
Yeah.
We bought a zookeeper, right. That's good. Okay. This seems like as much of a sure thing as you can get with Best Picture with the artist, I think.
Yep. I've been saying it ever since the preview came out. I said, nope, it's going to win. It just looks like it's going
to
win.
I just don't. I think it's the artist to lose, if you want to know the honest truth. So,
yeah.
What would upset it? What would you put in second place?
Descendants.
Yeah. Me too.
That's what I was thinking. It would be the Descendants. And I like to, you know, here's the thing. I don't have a problem with anything nominated here. Not even Extremely Loud, but it's only because of Max von Sydow's performance, really. I think if you took that performance out of the film, you'd be, you know, wishing that an atomic bomb had dropped on the city by that time. But I actually think, you know what the other film is that could upset it? You guys are going to laugh. I think The Help may upset
it. No, I think so too.
Possible. Definitely possible. But I just don't, you know, I mean, a movie that's not nominated for Best Director or a screenplay, I mean, just not, it's unheard of. So, I mean.
Well, you know, in my personal top 10 favorite movies of the year, five of the nine here are on my top 10 of the year list. So that's good. That's good for me. I mean, that's a good year.
There's so many people who are, you know, on the Oscar pronouncing sites like Awards Daily and In Contention. You look on there and people were so mad about the snubbing of movies like Drive and Shame and The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, even though it got five nominations. And, you know, I mean, like, they're never going to nominate movies like that, you know? It's like being mad back in 1986 that Blue Velvet didn't get a Best Picture nomination. I mean, they're never going to nominate a David Lynch movie for Best Picture, you know, unless it's something like The Elephant Man, you know. They're just not going to do that. They're not an edgy thing. So I don't know why people are so upset, you know, all the commenters are so upset. Even the people
The very nature of expanding your category, it seems like it would be devised to allow movies like that in.
Well, I mean, they did with Tree of Life. So, you know, I mean, Tree of Life is absolutely, you know.
Okay, but you just said that they wouldn't do that.
Well, I mean, The Tree of Life is an unusual movie, but it's not a movie that has, you know, people, you know, the main character crushing another guy's head with his foot, or, you know, a scene of anal rape, or a scene of
what
somebody.
What was my favorite scene in Tree of Life?
But
Mark said, and rightly so, Mark said that Black Swan was nominated. That was a big contender.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
okay.
An edgy, youthful movie.
That's I suppose that's true, you know. But I mean, look, they're not going to have a movie with the scene of anal rape be nominated for Best Picture.
Well, but Deliverance was nominated for Best Picture, wasn't it? It was. I'm serious, right?
Okay, but that was back in the 70s. Things have changed.
When anal rape was accepted?
Wait, Dean, that doesn't make sense. So you're saying, oh, it was accepted then?
They're
no, I think actually Mark brings up a good point because Black Swan got all these accolades and everything. So it doesn't, in one sense, you know, everyone thought that Michael Fassbender would be nominated for Shame. I mean, it was a given the way everyone was going on and on about it.
I would have expected Girl with the Dragon Tattoo or even Drive to get in there.
Yeah, I mean,
really loud.
It doesn't really. And here's the thing. I don't think Shame is a great movie by any stretch of the imagination, but I was surprised it didn't get any nominations.
Yeah.
I thought
Fassbender double nomination for that in A Dangerous Method as Sex Fiend. I mean, come on. I mean, that's what we were waiting for all year.
I guess by nominating The Tree of Life, they're saying that they're also nominating Fassbender's performance in Shame.
Wow, that's deep, Jamie. That's really deep.
Not really. All right. All right, so that's it. All three of us.
I love the way you wrote that on my desk.
Ending on Fassbinder's penis and anal rape. We all believe that the artist will win Best Picture.
Absolutely, the artist, no question.
Okay, what are you guys most looking forward to in the Oscar telecast? You got Billy Crystal returning as host. You guys looking forward to the best song performances, I would tell you.
Yeah, that's what I have a horrible confession to make. I'm not really, if I miss this year's Oscars, I could care less. I mean, I think we already know the winners, but even more so, I think there's something really bland this year.
There is a blandness.
There is
right.
A bland, and I don't mean to sound like that, but there really is just something like, it seems like, hey, we played it safe this year almost. Kind of.
Yeah.
And I hate to say that, but we're a movie show and everything, but this year just something, I hope something, I mean, maybe, I hope there are some, this is a 1 year, I hope there are some surprises.
It's looking like a completely predictable evening. Mm-hmm. I mean, right down to Billy Crystal hosting, which Billy Crystal, that's the comfort of Billy Crystal. You know exactly what you're going to get. He's funny. I like him. I laugh a lot at him the previous years he hosted.
Right.
He's comfortable, you know?
Yeah.
That's what Billy Crystal is. So
yeah.
I think it's going to be a completely unsurprising, terribly predictable Oscars this year.
Mm-hmm. I agree. That's my main problem this year is there's something so safe and comfortable about it. It just makes it, you know, whatever.
Yeah. You're right. I mean, you know, it's definitely true. Even though I really love, you know, The Artist and Moneyball and Tree of Life, you know, those are the only three of the Best Picture nominees that I'm really, like, thrilled with. But
here's the thing. I think what tonight maybe, I'm not going to watch the SAG Awards or anything, but if something changes, if it's not run-of-the-mill tonight, if there's some surprises, that will bump my interest in the Academy Awards.
Yeah. Well, the SAG Awards do begin in a half an hour.
Oh, God, you better get going.
And I like the SAG Awards. They're actually some of my favorite.
What channel are they on?
TNT, I believe.
Okay.
They're actually one of my favorites every year. I mean, we're just so inundated with award shows this time of year.
It does seem that way. I think we should do our own award show that way.
That's what we've been thinking of. I mean, I've been thinking about that for a while. It just takes some preparation, I haven't had the patience to do it. But you know, I Oscars, that's another reason why they seem so behind the eight ball and so tired by the time we get to them, because we've already suffered through award shows every
mm-hmm.
single weekend. I mean, one just the day before the Oscars take place with the Indy Spirit Awards.
You kind of just wish that we could go back to, you know, pre 1990 when there was just only the Golden Globes and the Oscars, and that was it.
And I think the Grammys even come on a little bit before the Oscars. So, I mean, we're really, like, suffering from awards fatigue.
I agree, Jamie.
And plus, everything's been so – everyone's won the same damn award dozen times before you get to the Oscars. So you feel like you've already seen everything you need to see by the time we get to that point.
Yeah. It's true.
How do you solve that? Yeah.
The only way they can fix it is if the Oscars somehow moved up to, like, January 1st. You know, they came out, you know.
if they came out ahead of the pack.
Instead of announcing the nominees and just and waiting a month till the Oscars, just go ahead and just go barrel right on through and just forget announce the nominees and then announce the winner. That would be the only way.
All that being considered, I mean, the Oscars are really, in movie award terms, the only ones that truly matter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because in your epitaph or for marketing of your movies or to raise your price or
mm-hmm.
get better projects, the only prefix that matters is Oscar-winning actor, blah, blah,
That's
blah, or, you know. Unless you're James Lipton and when you introduce a guest, you even go through the MTV Movie Awards.
Well, you know, that
which
helps.
Which he does.
That does help. I mean,
I look forward to the day when the MTV Movie Awards are the precursor to the Oscars, where that really determines who. How many times have those two differed? But the
wow.
MTV Movie Awards are like summer, I think. All right. Guys, that being said, I don't think Tree of Life will win an MTV Movie Award this year. I'm going out on a limb.
You never know.
Mike, is there a kiss in it that could win? Best kiss? Tree of Life?
Best fist fight?
I don't think there are. Best photography of fireflies goes to...
No, but I do think it has the best... I would... As much as I like all the films in that category, it is the one, if it does not win for cinematography, then there is something really, really beyond rotten.
Yeah.
That's true. That's what I'm looking forward to most, just to see Emmanuel Lubez get there. That's what I'll be looking forward to most.
Yeah, I think the lockiest of locks this year.
Yeah.
his best
no
cinematography.
Way.
Yeah. All right, guys, so we're not going to be back next Sunday because next Sunday is...
the Super Bowl.
That's right. So we'll be back post-Super Bowl for our Oscar series coverage and more. Now, we do have an extra interview I want to tell you guys about. We have web-exclusive interviews that you can only find on our website at moviegeeksunited.net. And this week we have Amy Mann, the daughter of... director Michael Mann, talking about her new movie Texas Killing Fields, starring
cool.
Sam Worthington and Chloe Moretz. That is available online under web exclusive interviews at moviegeeksunited.net. All right, guys, I appreciate it.
All right,
yep. Enjoy
Have
the
good
show.
Night.
Yeah.
Good
right,
night, everybody.
All right.